Welcome, friends and adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Blackguards. I am your Dungeon Master, Robulon. Joining me in no particular order are the players. Tomo.
I am playing Steve Tehuman, level 5 Gloomstalker Ranger, Fighter level 2, Rogue level 1. I have an owl.
Brandon.
I am Ikarut Puishle, level 8, Blood Hunter, Half Orc, and I have breast enhancements.
Braden!
Hey, I'm Braden. I play Beleg Degar, Half Elf, Hexblade, Warlock, level 8.
Eric!
I'm Eric. I play Dr. Zozo Brightfeather, a level 8 Nurkokra Artificer.
And last but not least, Caleb!
I am the Construct, Kaito Hatata, and I'm a level 8 Warforged Barbarian.
Previously on Dungeons and Blackguards.
Remember when I blew the whole party up?
I played a pretty big part in that as well.
What a crisp.
The crisp bomb blew up all the ships, killed a few people, and the thing is still fucking alive.
And it's still alive. That goes to show you that, like, that's redeeming for me to end Zozo to be like, had we not done that, we all would have died by the hands of the Kraken.
I would have flown away.
Now, of course.
Yeah, as Belleg and Zozo flying away.
Swim. Yeah, no, that needed to happen. I'm glad that happened. That was badass, Zozo.
Yeah.
That was sick. The boat was here. The Kraken was here. Now they're not. And now you're all in the water.
So that thing is still in the water.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hopefully we scared it off for now. I mean, maybe it just wanted the boats.
It just liked eating wood. And not people.
Friends and adventurers. The floor is yours, Beleg Degar.
Whoa. You know,
you've got Zozo Brightfeather, but beyond the waves, 120 feet away, you see Stolas, who has alighted upon the purple rowboat, and then Rook and Katoa nearby.
Yeah, I went straight for the mimic chest because it was the first thing I saw, and transformed to look like the
heaper.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, and so the crate is gone. You know, this mimic chest is like a free mimic. And its brass eye looks up at you lovingly and always looking at you for some sort of assurance that you are definitely its owner. Dangerous pet.
Oh, yes. Did you see my heroics back there, Mimic? Oh, killed a Kraken, killed a quadriplegic. I did it all.
Killed a Krimal at sea.
Its little brass eye kind of blinks at you.
Lovingly?
Oh, it's very content. And so you have a nice buoyant mimic chest. You know, it's about 6 feet long, and then the waves crash around, but thank goodness the, you know, thunder and lightning has subsided. And now we're out of initiative.
First order of business is to take my healing gauntlet and blow all four charges onto Zozo.
Okay, can you roll 4d4 brass healing gauntlets?
Yeah, just a straight d4. It's seven total healing points.
Okay, Zozo, does that take you anywhere into the realm of healthy?
It does, yes. Now I have 3 hit points.
Hey!
Thank
He's
you.
He's back!
You're back!
Zozo is alive.
And I'd also like to, I don't think I'm actually armed right now, so I might rock my Pact of the Blade and try to think of the best weapon that would act as a oar. Probably is a glaive. like a wooden glaive, like a hefty glaive, not my nice glaive.
Well, Balleg, as you look down at the tattoo on your forearm and you summon your glaive blade, morphs into just about the biggest type of polearm that is almost oar-like in appearance, and it's going to make a fine tiller.
Perfect. How you feeling, Zozo?
She coughs up a bunch of water. I mean, she just needs a minute, but she'll be fine.
All right, that's good. Pat her on the head.
Oh. How are things going at the rowboat?
Yeah, and is Steve with us on the mimic chest? Where are you, Steve? I thought you were going for the boat.
Steve, he was above, swimming in that direction.
Yeah. Tomo?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you?
Swimming towards the robot.
Wait, I thought so. Yeah, so it's just Zozo and I on the mimic.
And Steve, have you closed the distance?
I blew my move and action, so halfway, I guess?
Yeah, I'd say you certainly make it 75% of the way there.
Yeah. Yeah, I just used my my healing, my second wind as a bonus.
So, party, you are being held together by Steve's extreme athletic prowess here. I will say, though, it's still only like 12:30 at night. You're 100 miles from any semblance of land. And the starlight and the moonlight is all you have. So Steve's little head, his little poncho head, bobbing away, and then the two various party groups here are still, you know, not quite together.
My little poncho head.
Who's in order?
Whose turn is it now?
I think we're out of initiative, aren't we?
No, okay. We ended initiative with Belleg at the bottom of the order.
Oh,
so did Kaitoa make it to the robo?
At this point, finally, just as Stolas alights upon the purple rowboat, you and Rook are trying desperately to clamber aboard, but you and Rook combined, so you're having trouble getting on. So I would say now there is a bit of a puzzle ahead of you.
So really I'm more concerned about getting Rook's body onto the boat. Kaitoa really has no issue with breathing underwater, being frozen.
This is a bottomless day.
Yeah. Yes, I will keep swimming if need be. I'm basically the Jack of this Titanic plank of wood. And Rook is my Rose.
Well, Kaitoa, can you roll? Let's see, what would you roll?
Maybe a strength to get him up onto the boat.
Can you roll a persuasion? And your construct parts are aiding you.
Oh, I was going to ask, are they... That's the other thing. I didn't know whether they were now, like, inept or, like, mute. Did they stop working once they've done their healing...
They've had short rests aplenty.
Oh, okay, so they're continually... Yeah, they need rest just like I do, but they are now... It's not like temporary hit points where once I use them, they're gone. They will regenerate or be with me until I part with them.
Yeah, these things seem to have a life of their own. And, you know, roll persuasion.
Okay.
I mean, there's definitely a buoyancy to them as well, right? You know, they carry their own weight, and they don't add encumbrance to you, so...
Persuasion. 13.
Okay. Well, the bar is pretty low with these parts, and they aid you in dumping Rook's body into the bottom of the rowboat. They balance the rowboat out. And almost like an extra hand, they kind of lay him down for you. And now it's just you in the water. You've deposited Rook successfully into the boat.
Sweet.
Steve, you are now only, I would say, within arm's reach of Kaitoa, and Kaitoa, all of a sudden, you feel the tap of a hand on your shoulder.
A tap of a hand?
It's Steve!
Steve? Yeah. I was going to say, there's no one else.
It's a tentacle!
Yeah.
That like, sucks.
Steve, this is small rowboat, man. You gotta
so cold.
Get
this sucks.
Living again.
I'm okay in the water here. I'll just, like, hold on to the boat and keep myself afloat. Like, maybe I'll tie myself to this boat so I don't get drift away, but we gotta get Rook alive. If you have anything to heal him with, or if we can contact the other party...
Are we... Is it just you and me here?
Me, you, and Rook, man.
Alright, how's Rook looking?
He's dead.
Oh, like mostly dead? Like, true
well,
love?
Well, I mean,
dead, or
I'm gonna talk to to look at him and be like,
Steve, he looks like a dead Rook.
Yeah. I've seen a quick medicine. Steve,
he looks like a dead
medicine.
Orc.
You know, Steve, you're now treading water at the edge of the purple boat.
Oh, no, I'm in the boat. Steve, yeah. Okay. No, Steve does not want to be in the water anymore. It's cold.
Kaito is a 5+ whatever, but
he's a dead Rook in my eye.
Yeah, plus one.
X. Steve is out of the water, like, real quick. All right.
He's cold. He's not responding.
Medicine is a 16 altogether for Steve.
Well, you know, Kaitoa, you assess also that the frigid Rook... is now, you know, joined by Steve, the young boy from Moy, Steve. But you're not dealing with cadavers. Nobody's dead yet, in terms of Rook. And, Steve?
I have a tenuous grasp on living and breathing, and Rook to me look dead.
Oh, there's one of Captain Flagon's flagon ales? Sorry, flagon barrels. Barrel ales.
I can't see the rest of the party.
It is very hard to make out where Belligan, Zozo, and the chest are. It's just you and Kaitoa and Rook in the purple boat and Stolas.
How are we still doing as far as, like, the thunder, lightning? Is there...
Receded, dissipated, and now those two moons have finished that transit where it might appear... that the moons will someday, you know, collide on their sort of oblique angles. And, you know, thank goodness the storm is gone, but the waves are still quite rough. You're in the middle of nowhere.
I can send Stolas up for...
Yeah, and I'm going to tie myself to our rowboat, and I'm still in the water, and I'm just going to start kicking and paddling.
Kicking away? Okay. Can you roll a survival or a strength, whichever you feel is more appropriate, and then Stolas, and then Belleg, and then Zozo, who is just now sort of back in some sort of conscious state, can you all, as a group, roll perception?
Yeah.
That was a crit fail.
Oh!
Oh, good, you're on the... The fucking other, the flotation device with the other guy who can't roll perception to save me.
Oh,
I've still got salt water in my eyes.
That's a 7 for Belleg.
Oh, guys.
I would like to say that Belleg should be able to look up at the stars and have a good sense of navigation because he was the guy at the helm of the Obojin.
Stolas got a 12.
Oh, okay. Stolas makes it happen. Stolas manages now to rope you guys back along their trajectory, and thank goodness Belleg and Zozo, Stolas leads you back to Steve and Rook and Kaitoa.
Kaitoa's got a 15 for strength on the...
Okay. Well, the Kaitoa, as you are propelling the rowboat Gene, you now are joined alongside by the bobbing mimic chest, and there's Belleg paddling away with this, like, huge oar-shaped glaive, and there's Zozo on the front! and Zozo is just like slumped, and a little bit of drool escapes her beak, and her very cute and endearing, you know, polar cap and earmuffs are ice caked. Everybody is frigid and freezing, although to the construct this means nothing.
I'm just paddling.
Yeah, I was just gonna keep swimming.
And like I said, I should have a pretty good idea of the stars by now because I've been at the helm of this boat for our whole trip. I should know the trajectory that we need to go on.
Okay, Bellic, why don't you also roll survival?
Yeah, I'm just in the water, like, doing my Olympic swim, towing anything. Okay. And I just need pointed in the right direction, but I'm just going to keep swimming.
Okay, you are like an outboard motor. Bellic, take out your astral lab.
Steve,
my survival was 18 plus 1, so 19.
Okay, great. You have a fantastic sense. You are actually orienting yourself towards the constellation of Kudur, right? The hunter, the battle father god, the constellation Kudur with his belt, obvious in the northern sky here. You're heading towards the Maw. And am I to understand that you feel you still have two little seaworthy vessels? Are we somehow, do you still have a convoy of two vessels?
Yep.
Not quite the same.
We have a smaller, like...
smaller footprint.
As far as a footprint, yeah. Like, there's less chance a Kraken's going to be like, oh, hey, giant.
Yeah.
Attack it.
Well, friends and adventurers, you are now a little tiny floating mimic chest and a not much larger. It's only about an 11-foot purple rowboat. It does have a collapsed mast. There is no sail material, though, and it is now about 1 o'clock in the morning. Drifting now, folks.
Use your poncho. Poncho sail.
Is there anything in this mimic chest?
Yeah, we know it's...
there's a leaking sarcophagus.
Yeah, we're keeping it closed.
Right.
Yeah.
I might tell the mimic to do something to make us go faster, but...
we'll probably have a second crim bomb if we open it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Zozo's gonna start going through her alchemical supplies and trying to put together a potion to out of the stuff that isn't all wet and waterlogged to try and give herself some healing.
Can Kaitoa slowly start gathering kelp and seaweed?
Try and make a...
if I can knit anything, I'm gonna slowly start...
You're just like, are you basically an otter on your back, towing them on backstroke just, and then on your belly?
Yeah, just little kicks.
Kaitoa, can you roll for kelp?
I want to roll for any kind of material. Like, is that be perception?
Yeah, perception.
11?
Okay. There is a floating patch of kelp.
Yes. I'm gonna gather it and on my back as I'm like towing, just doing a little toe pick as children do in the water, as I'm taking a little break from my breaststroke, I'm gonna just start knitting a bit of a blanket or a makeshift sail.
Okay. Kaitoa begins to collect the material. Zozo, you're beginning to sort of address the major damage that you have taken. May I sort of understand, are you indeed piloting the chest?
Yep.
Nice. Is there an extra oar in the boat that we can pass over?
I'm using my blade.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, just want to make sure.
Glaze like a
just want to make sure.
Like, hey, Rob. Zozo's not looking very good.
Zozo's looking at about 1/8 of where she should be in terms of vitality.
All right, I'm going to use Healing Spirit, and I am going to put it on Zozo.
Row ourselves in circles around the Healing Spirit.
Actually, how's Rook looking? Maybe.
I think it's fair to say we could all roll and all roll for Rook, and you're taking 10 rounds?
Yeah, I mean, it's the 1 minute. Yeah, you get okay, 10. Here we go. I guess if we're doing it, 10 to 6.
Easy, I got them all.
There we go.
So, Robin, while this roll happens, let me know that, like, how often I have to roll for collection, like, if I'm constantly collecting...
Seaweed sail building minigame? Okay, what'd you get on your hit points? So actually, Rook was restored actually fairly nicely
from death.
I've already rolled his death saving throw.
Excellent. Okay, I thought he was dead.
Rolling 10d6.
Yes, anybody who wants to participate in the tiny little Kodamas that are so cute as they get summoned.
They're all blue and glowy, and they're.
Well, I'm rolling the shit out of these d6s.
They're smooth, like little baby dolphins with legs and feet.
Oh, listen to them. And they...
I got 30.
They restore!
Thank you, Steve! Almost take another Chris Blast.
38.
Yeah, that nearly restores me.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think I can benefit from this without, like, actually stopping and mending.
How's my makeshift sail going?
Well, as the moons now descend, and you have made it almost half of the way, party, I would like everybody to kind of participate then in how you have made this ragtag convoy almost half of the distance. You've been sailing all night, and now the sun is beginning to rise. So, Kaito, I mean, first... describe to me how this wonderful sail is built.
On my back, started weaving a giant braid. The boat caught it, and then I started weaving the other end. And slowly, as I start collecting things on my back, kicking, towing the boat, I'm just weaving at my chest and feeding the line back to the boat. And they're helping mend it into a giant square.
A square sail. Classic. So a square sail. And what would you say you've used to make the sort of the cross beam?
So we've yet to do that. I basically just been in the water, like kicking with my feet, weaving this sail. And now that we've completed it, yes, I would climb on board, hug the mast, and... try and complete this sail.
You know what it is? Pieces of construct parts. Climb off of your exoskeleton and complete the sail. You know, the cross beam. Well, Katoa, in this sort of moment of necessity, you're really bonding with these construct parts. Other conscious adventurers, for although Rook is conscious, he is sort of certainly not very lucid at the moment. How would you say you are propelling yourselves?
Beleg was using his wave oar until his arms got tired, and now I think he's just like flipped around and started doing Eldritch Blast behind the boat. Propel the boat forward.
A little jet propulsion.
Beleg, inspiration. Keep it going. Mr. Steve and Miss Owl, can you also do the same? How are you attempting to captain this ragtag convoy? Because it's still a half day's journey at sea to the Maw.
I think Zozo brews up a fortifying fumes potion to help give everybody energy and keep them warm, because they were all fairly frozen. So I think some of that nice Vicks Vapor Rub.
So do you got any healing? Because I'm down at 11.
Oh yeah, yeah, I can do cure wounds.
Out of 90. I'm at 11.
I think she helped Kaitoa. She circled around above and scouted out some more kelp fields to help complete the sail.
That, or you could get on the old crow's nest and just start flapping your wings.
Okay, and then Steve, what are you doing?
So Steve is, we've summoned the Kodamas. I think he's just chilling out in the bottom of the rowboat.
I've got my work.
So as the morning comes, the party has made miraculous time. You have certainly not made the time you would have in your two fully fledged sailing vessels, but here you are, a floating chest beside a lifeboat with a beautiful square sail. It is a frosty morning, and everybody is warm on their insides, you know, from their throat down to their tummy tum tum with the Vicks Vapo Rub infusion of Zozo, and Beleg now lifts his glaive paddle above his head and looks out. And Beleg, can you roll a perception?
Oh, jeez.
Got it.
Yes.
Belegian fashion.
Yeah, I was here to witness it. It's not a legend.
It's a one.
Oh, nice.
It's true. It happens.
And Beleg, you say, land ho.
Well, that's what I say.
Yeah, there's no land in sight.
That's no moon.
Can Kaitoa use his eagle vision to confirm that if it's daylight?
Kaitoa, can you zoom in? Because, you know, indeed, Beleg has spied something on the horizon. It does not look like a landmass. Kaitoa, why don't you zoom in? Roll perception with advantage.
It's a 19 plus 4, so 23.
Oh, there is a huge pillar of rock rising out of the ocean. You would not even call it an island. This is like a stone spire jutting out, and there seems to be a temple atop of it amongst a sort of cloudy mist, Kaitoa. So, you know, Beleg, you were not wrong, but this is not the Maw. This is not Tonwin.
I'll pass this on to the party, because I imagine we're all within speaking distance.
I should hope so.
So if anyone has any history or any previous knowledge of this...
Yeah, I'd like to roll and see if I recognize it.
Okay, everybody can roll history.
Yeah.
Does Beleg roll history too?
Beleg, you're maybe awestruck by the majestic appearance of this rock island jutting out of the
rock island.
That's a 10 for Steve.
That's a 10.
Okay. That's a 10.
That's a 10.
It's all the taste buds. Natural flavors.
That's a 10.
Jutting rocks. That's a 10.
Checking in. It is very tough to discern the outline of this shadowy, rocky, jutting island here. Barely an island. There's no place to land a boat, and you are passing past it. It's almost like a mirage as it goes past.
How fast are we paddling?
Well, you're in the open ocean.
Wow, propulsion is serious.
Dude, these toots are blowing us.
You are on the open ocean. This is on the horizon. You know, so you would have to make a huge divergence in where you're going towards the Maw. You know, Beleg has spotted it. He said, land over there. But say, this is off to... We're on the large map now. The Maw is directly northeast. You'd have to diverge, say, directly eastwards to go towards this. And again, now it is receding.
Do I have a rough idea how far we gotta go?
Oh, to get to the Maw? You're halfway there. 50.
But we're not, like, we're not adrift and we're not randomly going anywhere. We know where we're going.
Yep.
Steve's already figured out how long it would take him to swim to the to the moss.
We've been going for like 12 hours.
I see we're doing pretty good. If we're going straight to the maw, then we're not gonna. It's not gonna take that long.
All right.
You guys are getting used to Bellic, by the way, as pompous Pimpernel there in the purple doublet.
This chest is my friend.
And now you are very close to the maw. It's been the whole day since you were attacked by the Kraken. It was almost 24 hours you guys have been at sea. Obviously, very little rest, but you are now approaching a real land mass. Tonbu.
Oh, it's only been a day, but I still feel like Bellegg has a really good beard going on.
Yeah. Everybody has definitely incurred now one level of exhaustion.
That's disadvantage on all saving throws, right?
Yes.
Kaito's got like a rust beard.
As you arrive in the Bay of Maw, it is like a rocky, impenetrable entrance, save for a tiny little dock and berth. Where you walk up this very, very steep, rocky staircase to what looks like a very small town on the cliffs here. So now I would say you are about a quarter mile off of the shores of Tonwyn and the Maw. A plateau island. You know, you have to go up about almost 180 to 200 feet with this huge staircase winding back, zigzagging up and back on itself.
Well, there's a staircase that we can do. Okay.
And you would be arriving here now. Wow. It is the middle of the day. It is freezing cold, but oh, your polar bear skin upgrades have served you so well. This dries off. This holds heat. This wicks off moisture. It is good.
Oh, I got that good scarf.
Those Ugg boots.
Zozo with the aviator cap. Steve, what did you take there? Lining?
Yeah, I grabbed some lining.
So your hood, and I guess the Rook got the cape. Rook got the Conor McGregor cape.
Sorry, Robin, did you say we landed at Maw, or we're at a city outside of Maw?
You were off the shore by a quarter mile. So now, how is the party going to... There's a very small dock, and right now it seems unmanned, with this staircase going all the way up, zigzagging up, to where you would actually find, perhaps, the entrance to this little town.
If we're suffering from exhaustion, I suggest we rest.
Yeah, I'm going to rest as well. I'd like to see if they can see any indents or any caves or anything in the bluffs. A place to like offload the mimic chest while we go away.
Oh, interesting. I mean, you don't even need to roll perception. No, there's no porous cave features here. They're just the waves crashing against sheer cliff walls, except for this one tiny berth where, you know, there's this little 40-foot dock coming out from the cliffs.
Do you guys want to go close to the docks and rest down here, or go up and see if we can find a place to rest, or what?
No, I think we should rest down here before we make ourselves known. Like, people go up.
Is there a good natural position that Steve can find that would allow us to rest safely without being seen?
We pirate booty the mimic chest and just bury it?
There's nowhere to bury it, though. It's like sheer rock, a dock, and then stairs. Oh, we have to try and carry it up.
Oh, so no beach?
No.
At all?
No.
Try to put the chest underneath the dock.
That's what I was thinking, is tying my chest underneath. That was my second option.
That is a fairly logical solution. You could sling the mimic chest under a portion of this dock. The dock is, you know, obviously well established here. It's clearly got footings deep into the water. Care has been taken to make this one access point. And as you approach the dock, as you start to make your vessel, which is just a little rowboat here, are you making that discreet as well?
Just cover it in kelp.
Ooh, yeah, drop the sail over it.
Should we scuttle it?
We may need to make a quick exit. We don't know how friendly this place is.
Keep the boat. The only boat we have.
We could steal another boat, but...
Oh, we could dump the sail.
No. What if we pull down the sail to cover the boat as, like, a camo chart?
Yeah.
Well, that is a fairly logical solution as well, because the only feature here is this 10-foot wide by about 40-foot long dock. You could nest underneath the dock the camouflaged rowboat Jean.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So it's done. And what I will do is I'm going to have everybody roll a quick stealth check for sort of this whole thing about keeping the party's entry and their vessel and their mimic chest sort of nestled away in secret. Group stealth. Let's go.
So those are rolled a 6.
Whoa. Oh, natty 20 for Steve.
Hey!
Oh, yeah, nice. Natty 20 plus 9.
Hey. Wow, fuck.
I'm rolling great tonight.
Even after blowing inspiration, Beleg rolled a 7.
I got a 14.
I think Kaitoa and Steve kind of carried this one. So, as you start to assess this huge staircase that doubles back on itself, you see way up above you a couple of little flags jutting out, and they are of a sort of golden brass color. And you look way up there, and you see birds, seagulls flying around. It's the middle of the afternoon. Although it is cold on the first of Sarch here, it's Sarch. Still going to get you guys pumping. And can everybody roll athletics? It's like the gross grind.
Zozo rolled a 7.
Oh, no, Zozo!
She's very exhausted. You can just fly, though,
right?
Zozo, can you roll with a sort of cheat advantage?
Okay. That time I was an 8.
Well, what you do is you flutter up each step, and you are just still taxed.
Steve ignores difficult terrain. I think Steve just, like, nimbly hops up. This is just, like, his favorite thing to do.
Kaitoa? Beleg? Oh, a rook? 12. And in this moment, Rook will need somebody hauling him up. But the party finally touches the very top level of the zigzag staircase. Up to the town of Maw. And who knows who's dragging Brook up, you know, by the scruff of the neck.
Kaitoa, probably.
And yes, as you sort of crest the edge here, everybody, yeah, Steve, you're up there, you're not winded. Zozo, you made it up, but certainly you are winded. There's a small town, sort of a humble and small town here. And you guys are just peering over the top level of the stair as, you know, Kaitoa brings Rook up by the scruff of his neck. And there's Beleg as well, kind of creeping up behind Steve and Zozo. And that, friends and adventurers, is where we will have to leave you tonight.
I'm actually surprised we all survived. See, things seem pretty dire there.
Out of all times that I anticipated the Chris bomb maybe being used, this was not one of them.
Yeah.
And I think in the end, it was a good move.
I don't know that we would have survived that Kraken. Yep.
Wow. For real, Rip Krizlik.
Yeah.
That is sad. Oldfoot. Flagging.
Yep.
Did you kill off Oldfoot because you just didn't want to do his voice anymore?
Why not I in the toothy maw of the Kraken?
We didn't actually see him die, so could show up again.
I really, really, really want Rob to make some sort of cryptic montage of like all the audio clips of us trying to train Krizblick and finding Krizblick and a tribute.
Krizblick.
And this badger is bloody and snarling, and he's coming right for ya!
Snarling wants to roll animal handling and try to calm it down. Cool down that badger. I want to animal handling and check.
Well, Rook's, I'm going to be wheeling my short swords in a ready action. And I'm going to hope Bellig rolls some fucking badass animal handling.
Yeah, I want to calm this guy down.
Roll it up.
Oh, it's not very good. He's not very calm.
I got some gorp of my gorp selection. I know what badgers like to eat, so I will take some of that out in my hand, and I'll soothingly kind of walk up with the gorp in hand, be like, "Hey, buddy, fight's over, man. It's good. I got some gorp for you."
Before you commit to this, can a badger wear armor?
It could.
It's gonna be, dude, if you either roll for it or roll play for it.
Yeah.
Steve, as you go up with your forest gorp, this badger is receptive. The badger seems to be, I don't know, roll a
animal handling skill. Yeah. Eat the fish. I roll a 2. I roll a 4, basically.
He does not like fish.
Not like fish. All right. For us.
Well, that's pretty bad environment for him.
Chintadu.
You guys all want to go to Chintadu?
Yeah, I'm on to Chintadu.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
Where the heck's this badger?
Okay. Yeah, that's the other question is, Robin, we just arriving. I wanted to ask, like, what's the progress on befriending the badger?
We're going to probably need to figure out, Steve, did you convince him of the finer tastes of seafood?
I did take a roll on it, and I rolled really shitty when I tried to feed him fish initially.
So you realize, you know, on the very first day, as this badger kind of started making a bit of a nest between some barrels and benches, that there was still this blood-caked collar around. And you also notice something else. This is a female badger.
Lady badger.
Because of, you know, how you, you know, coaxed it and showed some compassionate humanity, yeah, you have a creature now that is on the way to being tamed, and you managed to, on the second day, get the badger eating some fresh fish. And in fact, you know what? She's put on a couple pounds. And on the third day, as you guys battened down in the storm, the badger even came inside to Mickey's cabin, much to his disgust. But there's a clear progression here. And I'd say with about, you know, 2 to 3 more days of building trust with this animal, you will have tamed her. These guys charge up, and both of them are taking swipes at the party member closest to them.
Krizblick!
Krizblick!
That's a nat 20.
Oh, oh no!
18.
No!
And the first one here in the helm takes a chop as Krizblik tries to sort of ride the way. That's a one.
I should have cast Shatter!
Four damage. And the second fellow here, who looks like a brute of a man, he's a tall human with like jet black hair and no helm. And he, on that natty, it was. Oh, he's gonna deal 12 damage. What was the first one? Four?
Yeah, she's dead.
Oh, so Krizblik now is cloven by a longsword, guys, in front of your eyes.
Krizblik down.
Do we all get rage?
Well, after my nice bonding with Krizblik, in the reuniting there, I'm enraged by from what I'm seeing, so I am gonna dual wield on these sons of bees, and I'm gonna go after the guy who's directly in front of me, so right at Krizblik there. The old DM hasn't said that Krizblik's dead yet. Yeah. Just slumped over.
I use medicine.
It's an icebox.
I gently lay her down inside.
Okay. It's a small icebox that looks like it's, you know, used for
maybe... Just put it on ice.
Yeah. Within this icebox is now the body of Krizblik.
Yeah. I'm going right for that icebox, and okay. I'm going to open it up.
Whew. You stomp over there, and as you, you know, gingerly just open the lid, you will notice, actually, that some improvements have been made to this box. You know, whereas before it was a hastily concocted solution for a deceased party member's degrading corpse, now it seems to have been maybe multi-layered, and it's quite cold in here. It seems to have a lot of insulation. The Iceman has obviously been by. It has been refreshed. And perhaps there is more at work here, but boy, there is, under the blanket, the form of Krizblik.
I'm going to gently, like, consolingly brush Krizblik and then close the lid again.
So, green magic, not something I can perform, but better touch this creature within a year for this kind of magic, and I don't know how long it may take you, so I've made a little, say, way that you might take this deceased party member with you in, shall we say, semi-stasis.
So she's ready for travel.
The wizard Mem looks from underneath his bushy brows.
Yes, but are you ready for travel? Blah, 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 blah. Leah!
Yeah.
Leah?
Hmm?
Before I go...
Hmm?
I apologize for all my intrusiveness. I'm really concerned about my party member. This badger is very dear to me, and it's all my priority right now in life. It's my sole purpose, and I please forgive my abrupt nature, but I'm really concerned about it. Going forward, are you able to keep her sustained, or should we bring her with us in our quest forward?
Ooh, pulling at the heartstrings.
I am a construct. I have no tact. But going forward, I appreciate everything you guys are doing, but this badger is very dear to me, and she trumps all courtesies. I will do anything to save her.
What's this moisture coming out of my eyes? It struck a note. Can you roll a quick persuasion to confirm? And Kaitoa, I will give you advantage on that for excellent RP.
I'll take the 17.
Well, let me just spill the beans on exactly what's going on here. It's a bit of... Well, it's actually the subterranean gnome technology there, that little icebox. It's a double-walled thing, don't you see? Imbued with the capability of keeping your little black and white badger friend, well, shall we say, fresh? You know, and because, of course, we're aiming for a resurrection here, I think that's what Mem may be hoping is possible, that with this Wagapaolo, well then, you'll obviously need 1,000 GP worth of diamonds. And so surely you may want to bring along your little friend as you figure out where her fate may rest, in the land of the living or the dead. No, hold on.
Do you have a way we can keep her fresh?
Does anybody have a
apartment?
Hold. Does anybody have a hanky?
I don't want her to spoil.
Steve has a handkerchief.
Steve, thank you.
So I don't want her to spoil in my compartment.
No spoilage. So
is there anything you can hand me
to keep her fresh?
Oh, you have a you have a badger-sized compartment?
Yeah.
Oh, well, perhaps what we could do here, if there is time before your journey, is outfit you with this chest. I mean, it looks like it's about rucksack-sized. So perhaps if you sacrificed about half of the size of your adventurer's pack, we could say that you have a frozen corpse of Crisplick back there.
All right, I'll pitch all my belongings. For Crisplick.
And some dry ice.
Oh, the deep gnome dry ice. You're aware of this technology then?
Yeah, I've come across it before.
Just pack her tight, pack her securely, and shove her in my bag.
We're going to save Crisplick.